Rovash woke in a small cell in a dark dungeon. His head was encased in a heavy metal helm that rose like a faceless mask up past his eyes. He felt with his fingers. It encircled the top of his head with heavy leather straps. The collar sat on his bare shoulders and was then firmly locked around the back of his neck. It was obvious this contraption was made to measure just for him. To add to the insult of its heavy weight, chains ran from the neck piece down both of his arms to his wrists. He lay there in the dirt, naked, cackling in madness, banging the metal against the wall where he wallowed. Rovash suddenly realized that he had control over his own body. "This is more of the dragon's misery," he said to himself. Rovash lay listening to his own breath hissing loudly in the mask. He wondered how long he'd been there. He found a tiny hole where a rivet had broken out along the seam on the metal. He struggled to look around at the dirty blank walls that surrounded him. He heard creatures skittering beyond his cell. "Most likely a hallway beyond a door that I cannot see." Rovash blindly lay there and listened. "We know who you are," Ro heard a voice talking from somewhere in the room. "You are the Dragon Lord's puppet. He wakes in you," the voice persisted.
"Tell me something I do not already know."
The reason for the strange solid construction of the mask came clear as his voice sounded too loud in his sensitive ears.
"Oh!"
Rovash whimpered in pain, clanking and writhing on the floor. "You are too noisy. They will come with a drink and force you to sleep," it spoke again. Rovash's mind was still not very clear. His head felt thick. His body felt stringy and uncooperative as he tried to sit up. The suffocating weight of the mask held him down. "We await in the dungeon for death," the voice volunteered, resigned to its fate. Rovash could tell he was male, but it was a young-sounding voice, like that of an adolescent. "Who are you?" Ro gently asked, feeling pity for this young prisoner. He was not surprised when he was answered with silence, but then the youth said, "I am to be your sustenance, my lord, when your dragon returns." Rovash felt himself drowning in horror as he fully saw in his mind what was going to happen. His desire to escape almost blinded his reasoning, but Ro's body felt weak and useless as he struggled to gain better control.
"How long before it he returns?"
Rovash quietly asked, trying to sound rational. "Soon," was all the young man said.
"Where has he gone this time?"
Ro interrogated the boy, not knowing how many times this had played out before. "The dragon flies to his kin in the south to complete his domination of the land. And then you will reclaim your queen and her sister to stand by you upon the top of your kingdom as our creator and our one true sovereign lord for all eternity." His voice was enraptured in certainty as he shared his heartfelt litany. Joy loosened his tongue and he continued to explain,
I was to be one of your priests. But I volunteered for this. It is the highest honor. Yours is the highest honor of all, to have our Lord reside within your body. Rovash was sickened with pity for the youth, for getting involved in such a cult. His empty gut knotted up and turned over. He retched on his hands and knees, hanging his head down, trying not to spew in the closed mask. "Your body is hungry," the voice said. "Our Lord has been gone a long time." The person sighed. Rovash turned his face sideways towards the voice and could see through the tiny hole. In the dim light, he saw a young, pale man in red robes sitting on a bench against the far wall. He was free to escape his fate, but he stayed. What madness! Rovash's mind reeled with disgust. Then he saw the glint of a chain hanging around the cultist's neck. The youth was not here to be blessed by his lord. His life was forfeit, only to be his god's keyholder. Rovash found himself uncontrollably laughing at the insanity of it all. With great effort, he rose to his feet.
"Come to me as I command."
He tried to sound convincing. "My lord, have you returned? The time is now." The young man stood up from his seat.
"Come, let me bless you," Rovash demanded, blindly reaching his arms out to receive the young man.
The young cultist ran, smiling in ecstasy, to his fate. Rovash easily broke his skinny neck.
"Lords, forgive you for your ignorance in this life. Maybe in your next you will make better choices."
Rovash grimly smirked as he dropped to his knees. He toppled over under the weight of the mask. He felt around and took the key off the body. Rovash unlocked the monstrous collar and chains, leaving them behind on the floor. With a sudden rush of weightlessness, Rovash staggered around trying to gain his bearings, wondering how he was going to get out of this. He thought of Nolan's escape, and now he knew of Fiona's escape. He too would get out of this place and go far away from the dragon's influence. Looking around for a disguise, Rovash picked the red robe off the man's body and tried to put it on. The cloth was ridiculously tight on his large frame and shoulder muscles. In a blast of sudden clarity, Rovash paused, chuckling to himself. With a twisted smile, he quickly tore the robe in half, wrenching it off his body and tossing it in two directions onto the floor.
"I am the Dragon Lord,"
Rovash snarled. He couldn't help but laugh hysterically in the utter madness of it all.
Oh my gosh, what a situation to wake up in. But the good news is Rovash has escaped, or has he? Well, we'll have to listen to the rest of the story. You are listening to the trilogy, Book 1 of Tales of Eldalorn. This is Chapter 46, Dragon Lord. I am just your friendly neighborhood author, narrator, Carly Bond. Now on with the show. Without further hesitation, Rovash walked with all authority out the unlocked dungeon door. He bellowed into the hallway. The noise went up from his followers, heralding their master's return. None dared approach his countenance as he stalked naked out into his kingdom. Rovash sneered and pulled a weapon off one creature as he shoved another one out of the way. He was well over twice the size of any goblin. Even the ogre generals were only the stature of average humans. He towered over them by a whole head and shoulders. "These types of creatures only understand one thing. Strength is power." Rovash most certainly was the big dog here. If the crowd pressed in too close, he started grabbing and breaking a few necks to cheering approval. The last time the Dragon Lord was present, 4 priests and 33 women and men died savagely in his bare hands. Rovash didn't know this because, thankfully, he had been blinded in darkness during the mad ravings of Sermanos and the dragon. He only wanted to get to an exit before it was too late. His new priest saw him coming and quickly called for his robes. "Take me to my chambers," he frowned, and the mute ones dressed him in silks and led him away. "It would be a mercy to set this place to torch and flame, killing everything," Rovash thought to himself. But then he realized it was all stone and would not burn enough. "The whole mountain must come down upon it," he snarled, glancing upward as they led him through the iron gates into his palace. What Lord Sermanos did not remember is that the Land of Dragons was plagued with war. Many of the dragon kin had recently fallen to dwarven settlements who still clung to the beliefs of their ancient ruined kingdom. They continued to dig under dragon lands, ripping open old wounds that festered for centuries. The dragon leaders were gathered in their elders' lair, discussing their next attack when the black drake landed on the edge of the cave opening. Sermanos did not even have time to shake out his scales when the enormous bulk of his sire came pouncing down hard. He encircled Sermanos's neck with his sharp talons. The King of Dragons stretched it out painfully as he spoke. "Why have you come slinking back here to those you have abandoned? Death has found many dragon kin today in my son's absence." The king glared at his hatchling prince through cold dragon eyes. "I was drawn by blood," Sermanos choked. He was barely able to speak as the giant one violently shook him by the neck. "Men worship me," he hissed indignantly at being throttled. "We have no business with men." His sire shook him again before dropping him harshly. "I am a dragon, and I am also High Lord Sermanos of Ilmatar. My divine nature compels me." He tried to sound impressive. The King of Dragons exhaled, shooting flames across his onyx scales. It meant disapproval in dragon speak. The black drake floundered as he tried to stand up on all 4 legs in the firestorm of his sire's breath. "I have come to ask for your assistance in taking back my kingdom to the north." He wasn't allowed to finish his plea. "You are dragon," the giant one viciously clawed him aside, turning his back on him. "Dragon kin belong here. There is no place beyond these mountains." Sermanos realized now he was not going to influence the dragons in his favor. The many cold eyes of the assembly stared emotionless, mocking him. "I will end you all," Sermanos hissed venomously. Your days upon this mountain are numbered, he growled while fearfully backing away, his sire's eyes turned upon him for another attack. This time, it would be more than just a scratch and a severe warning. The black drake quickly jumped out of the opening to escape his sire's wrath. Stretching his wings, he bolted towards the blood lair to the north. The giant one did not bother following him, nor did the king of dragons take the small black drake's threats seriously. He snorted sadly and scowled at his hatchling as he turned back to his council. Lord Sermanos would somehow rid the lands and himself of all dragonkind. He savored the thought as his mind burned with madness. The long flight to get here took all his energy, and here he was flying back with nothing. A herd of deer sparked his hunger. He pounced down upon them to eat a meal and renew his strength. He could not quell the feeling of defeat that was creeping over him as he ate. I will not be made to feel weak, he snarled. He had found a perfect solution to his problem in the half-elf. He need only rule his followers, make them do his bidding. Failure is not an option this time. Lord Sermanos howled with determination as he soared up into the sky. Fiona and Ejlem did not run straight to Etten Falls for fear their path could be traced back to where they had just come. Instead, they traveled through the edge of the swampland that defined most of the southern coastline of Aenghali. We can cut across to Ilionheni and then north along the river, EJ said after tracing his fingers in final calculations on a map. Besides, it might be nice to place a wreath of flowers on Mother's marker in that small cemetery there. Fiona rubbed his shoulders, knowing how hard the loss of his mother was, even after all this time. We need to take some time to rest and eat, she added sensibly. EJ knew she was right. Maybe we should make camp there, he added, even though he didn't really like the idea. We might seem strong enough, but we tax ourselves beyond limits, and this might be one of those times. I am hungry, Fiona said, slowing her pace. EJ dug some cloth-wrapped whey bread out of his pouch. Looking at the last chunk in his hand, he said, What I would give for a fish or a roast rabbit right now. He winked at her as he took a small bite off the corner and then handed the rest over. You love your mother's whey bread, Fiona reminded him as she swallowed a piece with their last full sip of water. The swamplands were still sweltering hot as the sun started sinking in the west. Good thing the river is near. EJ shook out the last drops of moisture into his mouth from the empty water pouch. He could see Fiona was fatigued, so he took her hand in his to keep them going. He knew they would find welcome shelter in the gardens. It was just getting dark as they passed Eldalorn. They were both afraid to get caught up in that again, so they did not linger. The ranger post was straight ahead. The couple was looking forward to taking a well-deserved rest and hopefully snaring something to cook. They easily forded the river and climbed up the bank on the other side. EJ and Fiona slogged tiredly over to the old headstones. They were shocked to see day-old wreaths of flowers, hand-woven and placed on the graves. Hold, EJ said in her mind, it could be anyone or a trap, although he could hardly believe any but his own brother would do such a thing. Think of Elgillion. We must protect ourselves for the sake of him at all costs. Fiona nodded in agreement as they readied their blades. EJ and Fiona stopped in the shadows of the passageway. Watching from a safe distance, they could see the familiar figure of Rovash. He sat mumbling to himself in the small pool that was just outside the outpost opening. He seemed to be alone, so Ejlem and Fiona crept closer. Lord Sermano certainly has earned his nickname the Fallen One again, as he feels the rejection of his own dragon family. You almost feel sorry for him, but not really. He still has some very serious anger management issues. Some things will never change, even with all the time in the universe. Speaking of change, Ejlem and Fiona found Rovash. They have been practicing this scenario in their heads for a long time. Is EJ going to really end his own brother? You'll have to come back next week and find out. Push the follow button if you haven't already, and I'll send you a new episode every week until this story is over. Until next time, this is Carly Bond signing out.